you. Gopal, thank you. It's tough to follow a comedian like that. So anyway, thank you all. I know it's been long days, and it's an exciting time. And you know, we are, I think, really blessed to be from Iowa, because not only did we have the opportunity to be the first in the nation precinct caucus, and I want to thank all of you, and especially AJ and our national committee man and committee woman for fighting to keep the Iowa caucuses first. That's really important, and we really appreciate your efforts on that. So thank you. But not only did we get to start this process, we are one of a half a dozen battleground states that's going to determine who's the next president of the United States going to be. Because there's a certain amount of states that we're going to carry, there's a certain amount of states Obama's going to carry, and then there's a certain amount of states that are really very close races. Now, you probably know Obama was in Iowa just the other day, and he's going to be back on Saturday. And again and again and again, I think the good news is he wouldn't be there if he felt it was a safe state for him to carry, because he's not spending a lot of time in California or New York or those kind of states, but he's spending a lot of time in Iowa, even though he carried Iowa by a big margin last time. And the reason for that is there are just a lot of people that feel betrayed, because when he ran, and you remember that Iowa launched him, everybody thought Hillary Clinton was the favorite, and of course you had John Edwards, who had done very well in Iowa previously, and so everybody thought it was going to be Hillary and John Edwards. But Obama was able to, especially among young people, with this hope and change and all these things that he was going to do. But now, and people really thought he would be a unifier that would reach across party lines. And now we've seen the reality for the last 4 years. He has not been a unifier. He's been the most divisive president we've ever had. We may have had flowery speeches, but we've had no leadership. In fact, the very first thing he did was turn over this whole health care issue to Reid and Pelosi. He didn't come up with a plan. He didn't have a strategy to try to deal with it. He turned it over to them. And it was politics as usual, the typical pork barrel spending and hidden tax increases and this massive government takeover. It's a disaster. It's unaffordable. It's unsustainable. And it's got to be gotten rid of, and we got to start all over again. We're proud that in Iowa, we've taken a different approach. Our goal is to become the healthiest state in the nation by getting people to take ownership of their own health. And we've got we've got companies like Wellmark and Hy-Vee and people like Doug Reichardt that are working with us to set ambitious goals and to get people to take ownership. We're going to have our second annual Start Somewhere Walk. We've got communities competing to be blue zones. Hy-Vee has got nutrition scoring. We're encouraging people not to use tobacco products. We're encouraging people to exercise. We want people to pay state employees. We're one of six in the country, six states in the nation, where most of our city employees pay zero towards their health insurance. Now, the lieutenant governor and I are leading by example. We said we're going to pay 20%. And if we could get all state employees to pay 20%, we save the taxpayers $100 million a year. Plus, when you have some ownership of your own health and you're working on that, you're going to live a longer and healthier life, and you're going to be able to. And so I'm excited about that. This election is all about leadership. So we know what Obama did. We also know that the first thing they did is they had this massive so-called stimulus, over $800 billion. You heard it last night, the biggest expenditure ever made by the federal government. But again, it was politics as usual. It was this massive pork barrel program, and it didn't work. We need a different kind of leadership. And we began to see that starting to emerge not too long after Obama became president, when you had two Republican governors, and you've heard from both of them, Bob McDonald in Virginia and Chris Christie in New Jersey. And they could see what was happening in their states and around this country, and they said, we're going to cut spending, not raise taxes. We're going to focus on bringing private sector jobs to our states to revitalize our economy. And we're going to make the tough decisions to address things like the public employee pension system in New Jersey, which is out of control. And we'll be willing to even take on the tough, entrenched interest groups. And they did it. And you see what's happened in those states. And then in 2010, all across, especially across the upper Midwest, starting with Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, as well as Kansas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, New Mexico, we elected new Republican governors. We have something in common. Now, there's some like me that are comebacks, you know, that were there before. And there's a bunch of new ones. And there's women and there's men. But we all have something in common. We understand that you don't create prosperity by raising taxes and driving business and jobs out of your state. You do it by providing leadership, making the tough decisions, spending less than you take in, and reducing the tax and regulatory burdens on business. Now, I want to go back a little bit and talk about one that even started before the rest of them I've talked about, Indiana. Mitch Daniels was elected governor of Indiana 8 years ago, and he did the opposite of what most of the other governors were doing at that time. He started immediately cutting the size and cost of government to revitalize the economy in Indiana. And he took a lot of flack for it. He was the first to do it. Today, Indiana is a great example of a state that's done the right thing. They've reduced the tax burden. They've focused on making the state more attractive for business. They even became a right-to-work state, so they've joined us and many other right-to-work states. And today, Indiana, which also went for Obama in the last election, it's not even a battleground state. It's settled. Indiana's going Republican. Indiana's going to elect another Republican governor, Mike Pence, because of leadership and willing to make the tough decisions, cutting the size and cost of government, and revitalizing the private sector. Then, now you look at, we've got Illinois surrounded. We got Indiana, we've got Michigan. Now, Rick Snyder in Michigan, who, by the way, used to live in Sioux City, was with Gateway, he's a CPA. When he ran for governor, his theme was one tough nerd. And he took over a tough state, 14% unemployment. They got it down to 9. He cut the corporate tax at about half in Michigan. So if we can do that in Indiana and Michigan, Wisconsin, and you know what happened in Wisconsin, I don't have to go through the details there, of the great leadership that Scott Walker's provided, our next vice president's coming out of Wisconsin, the national chairman's from Wisconsin. Wisconsin was the birthplace of public employee unionism, used to be considered solid for the Democrats. But they've seen the light in Wisconsin. And you know what we're doing in Iowa? I campaigned on a very clear message. We're going to reduce the size and cost of government by 15%. I can tell you we're down over 700 employees from when we took office. We got stuck. We got stuck with after I won the election and I campaigned on the idea that public employees ought to contribute 20% to their health insurance, before I got the chance to negotiate that, Culver asked the unions to make a demand, and he accepted it without any negotiations, stuck us with the with the health care costs and the salary increases that we couldn't afford. But I'm proud to tell you, I told our department heads, we don't have the money to pay for it. We're going to have to do it through attrition. You're going to have to eat these increases out of your budget. They've done it. And we are doing a better job with fewer employees, delivering better, more efficient services. And we have also set the goal of 200,000 jobs in raising family incomes by 25%, restoring our leadership position in education. The Lieutenant Governor and I are working on that every day, and we put a team together. And that's what you call leadership, setting clear goals that can be measured and then working hard to do it every day. And we saw some of that last night, because I was really impressed with the way that Congressman Paul Ryan laid it out. He made it clear, it's not just about what Obama has failed to do and that his his big government approach has failed and has given us this huge debt, which is probably the biggest threat to the American dream, the biggest threat to people being able to move up from poverty to the middle class and to being successful people. That's the biggest threat we've got, is this massive debt, and we only have a limited amount of time to turn it around. We don't have 4 years. We got to get to work on this immediately. It's very late now. You know, we're in the final quarter, as far as I'm concerned, if we're going to be able to turn this around. And we're going to have to do this, and our state is going to be such a critical part of it. But I think, and I guess my encouragement to you is this, we are a battleground state. We are one of the half a dozen states that are going to determine the next president of the United States. We have got to go home and do absolutely everything we can. Obama's got an army of paid people all over the state working every day. I was up in Algona, Iowa, and he had a paid staffer from Massachusetts there in Algona. He asked me to sign an Iowa map. I thought that was kind of interesting. But maybe he'll learn a little bit from being in Iowa. I don't know. But this is the challenge we've got. We have got to go back and tell our friends and neighbors how critical this election is for the future, for our freedom, for the American dream. And is all they have to do is look at and contrast what we're doing and these other states are doing with Illinois. This is Obama's home base. This is where he comes from, Chicago. And they dominate and control Illinois politics, and they have for years and years and years. And look at the results. Today, Illinois has the biggest public debt per capita of any state in the nation. Today, Illinois has the worst unfunded liability system, public employee liabilities for their pension system of any state. They're $4 billion behind in paying their bills on time. And what's their answer? The same thing that Obama wants to do at the national level. Raise your taxes. They raised the corporate and individual income taxes last year. And what happened? Exactly what you might expect. Companies started to threaten to leave. Oh, wait a minute. We'll do something. You big companies, we'll cut a deal with you. We want to keep you. But the smaller companies, they're stuck. And so, you know, the contrast is so clear. Do you want to continue to run America like they run Illinois into debt? Or do you want to run America like Republican governors are doing in their states, making the tough decisions, providing the leadership, reducing the spending and reducing the tax and regulatory burden, and freeing up the free enterprise system to grow this economy and bring the business and jobs to give us the prosperity that we need? I think it is really critically important. We need everybody hands on deck to get this done. Our state could well be, along with Wisconsin, the states that turn this whole thing. And what a deal that could be. We can have the honor of saying, We not only did we launch Obama, but once we found out that his rhetoric, his record didn't follow his rhetoric, and we realized, and I think there's a lot of independents out there that voted for Obama last time that are saying, I feel betrayed. I'm disappointed. I actually betrayed because we thought he was going to be a unifier. He's been a divider who spends his time blaming others and attacking others and not providing leadership. And this is all about leadership for the future of America. And that's why I'm really looking forward to tonight. I think that Paul Ryan did a great job last night. Measurables, 12 million jobs over the next 4 years. That's the goal. Spending no more than 20% of the gross domestic product, which is what historically and traditionally has been done in this country. Those are clear measurables that people are going to be able to take home. And you contrast that with what we've seen for the last 4 years. Thank you very much.